From the meditation of my heart, be for good pleasure in before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. Whoever shall seek a petition from any god or man for 30 days except the king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. This is the law that King Darius passed, making prayer to the Lord punishable by death. He decreed that anyone who worshipped any god except him would be thrown into a den of lions. Think about the conceit it would take to pass such a law. If we were king, what would be going on in our minds to get to the point where we used our power to pass a mandate like this? But we need to realize something about this story. We need to realize that sometimes we do what Darius did. We make decrees that elevate ourselves above the Lord. And the result is that the Daniel in us is sentenced to death. The Lord with us is sent away into a den of lions. But we also need to realize that when we see the effects of our evil deeds, we cannot just forget about Daniel and leave him there to die. We need to react like Darius did. We need to go back to the Lord so that he can then fight against hell on our behalf. When we realize we have done something that puts ourselves ahead of the Lord, when we have passed a decree like King Darius, we need to respond decisively. So this morning, we will focus on how King Darius responded when he realized the effects of his evil decree. And we will discover how the Lord teaches us to respond when our selfishness has resulted in Daniel being thrown into the lion's den, when our selfishness has resulted in a rejection of the Lord's influence. Now, Darius, he didn't start out passing such self-aggrandizing legislation, and neither do we. Decrees like this one are the result of a process. So let's look at this process before we look at how Darius responded. At first, even though King Darius ruled over Daniel and all the Judeans held in captivity in Babylon, Darius was thinking about, it says, setting Daniel over the whole kingdom. Likewise, when we consult the Lord more and more, we too are considering making Daniel in charge of the whole kingdom. We too are considering making the Lord the judge in all matters. King Darius thought about it. He considered appointing Daniel as the chief executive of his whole kingdom. And when we begin to see the Lord is bringing happiness to us, we consider the same thing. But the governors under Darius, those presidents and princes, like evil spirits, they don't want Daniel to displace them. When Daniel, which means God is my judge, has influence in our kingdom, we seek out the judgment of the Lord. We develop a conscience. When we are making progress in our relationship with the Lord and seeking the Lord out to help us in virtually every decision we make, hell cannot attack us head on. Perhaps we've begun to observe how much better a friend, classmate, or colleague, or spouse we are when Daniel, the Lord, has reached prominence in our minds. We begin to see how much happier we are when we consult the Lord first in our social, professional, and marital relationships. The kingdom is in order. Our lives are in order. But when we do this, hell will get creative. Just like the governors under King Darius, they will see that Daniel, the Lord, is a threat to their power, and they will work to destroy his influence. Hell will go after what rules us. Evil spirits will go after what rules us to try, with all their cunning, to make us subject to them. And not influenced by Daniel, not influenced by the Lord as our judge. With King Darius, the hells succeeded, at least initially. And this happens to us too. The king's scheming governors seduced Darius into passing a decree exalting himself above God, because they knew the decree would lead to Daniel's execution. They couldn't go after Daniel directly. He was still too close to the king. They knew they could only get rid of Daniel if they could first, as it says, get rid of the law of his God. The plotting of the king's subordinates shows us how hell knows it can't kill our conscience in regard to a particular evil head on. They just can't go out and assassinate Daniel. We wouldn't let that happen. No. Evil spirits know they have to first go after our belief that a particular divine law is above our own desires. The supremacy of the Lord and his word must be broken before hell can get us to act on evil. So the governors went to Darius saying, "O king, live for ages." They appealed to his ego. And even then, they didn't go all the way. They were just asking for the decree to last for 30 days. They basically said, "Make yourself God with all your royal authority, and for just 30 days, O king, pass this law." This is how hell conducts its sneak attacks on our conscience. We read in Apocalypse Explained that the delight of the love of self continually flatters and pleases us. And 30 days was enough to do the trick. Hell can't get us directly to assert dominion over our friends, colleagues, or spouse when we've begun to elevate Daniel to a position of prominence. So the appeal of flattery comes first. In our friendships or marriage, they might say, "Oh, you really know better than them on this one. So go ahead and say it that way, even if it isn't very nice." Or they might say at work, "You're the boss. That person didn't do what you told them to, so it's really okay. Go ahead. Lose your temper at them." These temptations are just like the king's counselors puffing up his ego as they hatch their plan to kill Daniel. When we entertain these hellish invitations to exercise dominion, even in these small ways, we are risking the death of our conscience in that area of our spiritual life. These little offenses can build to the point where we really are being ruled by the love of dominion. 30 days was all they needed with Darius. They just needed Darius to want to be more powerful than the Lord for 30 days. Not coincidentally, of course, the number 30 in the word can signify a state where we only put up a small fight against evil. So now, we know how Darius got to the point where he was capable of passing such a decree. Now we know how hell tries to lead us down this path too. But the story, of course, doesn't end here, and really, it's just beginning. As mentioned at the outset, it's the reaction of Darius that we need to pay attention to in this story as well. Darius agonized when Daniel was thrown to the lions as a result of his decree. It says, when translated most literally, he stunk greatly to himself. And when we listen to the counselors from hell and pass decrees elevating ourselves above what the Lord teaches, it's how we respond that now really matters. When we realize the effects of what we've done, when we are confronted with the stench we've invited from hell, it's how we respond that is such an important point in this story from the Lord. When we have disparaged a friend or spouse because we think we know better than him, or allowed ourselves to tear someone down at work because we can, and then realized it, it is as if we can observe our own unpleasant odor. We feel rotten, the saying goes. So what do we do then? Like Darius, we must labor until the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel from our selfishness. We need to admit what we have done and try to address it. We need to recognize we have made a terrible decision and apologize and deal directly with the consequences of our selfishness, repairing the harm we have caused if we can. But hell will remind us of what we've done already, just like they did Darius, and they will try to convince us not to repent. The law of the Medes and the Persians cannot change, they told Darius when he wanted to repeal his evil decree. When we ignore what the Lord teaches, hell tries again to tell us it's done, move on. And this is when the real temptation starts. They want us to resign ourselves to the death of Daniel. They want us to forget about him in the lion's den. But that's not what King Darius did. And that's not what we should do. Like Darius, we enter into a sleepless night struggling to turn back to the Lord and his word as hell works to make us abandon him. After agonizing through the night, King Darius, it says, arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. Likewise, we must follow through on our concerns and go right back to that selfish desire in us and make sure we have made the Lord our judge over that desire. Once King Darius arose from his sleepless night, once he made it through the despair of temptation, through the obscurity of darkness that hell wants us not to emerge from, the first thing he did was to make sure Daniel survived. We need to do the same thing. A sleepless night is not enough. We need to make sure our conscience is still alive after we've acted on a selfish desire to have dominion. After we've leveled the insult at a friend, a loved one, or a spouse, or after we have disparaged the colleague at work. When we go to the lion's den, like Darius, and cry with a lamentable voice for Daniel, when we again seek out the Lord, filled with anguish over what we've done, then Daniel answers, "O king, live for ages." The same words used before by the governors to tempt us through appealing to our ego. Only now, these are the words of our conscience. The voice of the Lord encouraging us to allow his love to reign in us, rather than the words of hell seducing us to abandon the Lord and follow our ego. When Darius came back to Daniel, Daniel did not rebuke him. Daniel praised him, just as the shepherd rejoiced over the lost sheep that was found, and just as the father rejoiced over the return of the prodigal son. When we rush to make sure the Lord is still there because we realized we have sinned, he will rejoice. Daniel explained to Darius that the Lord had sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions. And like Darius, when we survive the despair that comes with being confronted by our own evil choices, we discover that even though hell is like a pack of lions, animals that are among the most powerful and dangerous beasts on earth, hell is still powerless over the Lord in us. If we go to the Lord for help, knowing we've sinned, he will still be there to help us change. He will still be there when we've done something evil. He will still be there even when we have surrounded him with our evil choices like a pack of lions. We can recover if we go back to the Lord, but only if we go back to the Lord. And we will find that the Lord will then hold back the hells. We read in True Christian Religion that the Lord fights at this day against hell and every man who is being regenerated. For hell is like a huge lion, therefore, unless the Lord kept that lion bound hand and foot, a man, though rescued from one evil, would of necessity fall into another, and later into many more. Now, do you remember what happened to the king's advisors in the morning? It says the king brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and they did not reach the bottom of the pit before the lions had dominion over them and broke all their bones to pieces. Once we've emerged from the temptation and see the power of the Lord, he can then respond to evil within us and put it where it belongs, with the lions themselves, not in the kingdom, making decrees. The Lord will remove the evil from us and all the falsities married to it and related to it. The influences that seemed so pervasive just the day before are now devoured by the very forces that motivated them. When the Lord has done this for us like he did for Darius, we are so grateful the Lord is still there that we make a new decree, declaring, like King Darius did, "The Lord, he is the living God, and steadfast to eternity. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. When we react like Darius, and the Lord rules in us once again, he will save us from the scheming hells waiting to tear our spiritual lives to pieces. And we will know for ourselves, as it is written in Daniel, he delivers and rescues, and he does signs and amazing things in heaven and on earth. He who has delivered Daniel from the hand of the lions. Amen. And now to the one and only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.